President Trump lays out his priorities dollar by dollar. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. President Trump is scheduled to release his budget for the coming fiscal year today. Like most presidential budgets, it's more of a starting point. It has to make its way through a very divided Congress, so it will very likely see a lot of changes. Presidents know this, but they use their budgets to signpost their priorities. And in an election year, that messaging takes on even greater importance. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more.
President Reagan's 1984 re-election campaign celebrated good times.
It's morning again in America.
And the message came through loud and clear in Reagan's budget proposal that year, says Jack Pitney, a professor of government at Claremont McKenna College.
The key word was optimism. A lot of soaring rhetoric.
He says administrations often paint especially rosy economic pictures of the future in their budgets during election years.
A lot of aspirational programs, not so much discussion of the deficit and the debt.
Republican political strategist Alex Conant says budgets can also highlight programs that appeal to particular geographic areas that are important to winning an election.
There's a lot of regional things, so funding for the Great Lakes, obviously important to a lot of Midwestern states. Hurricane spending is important for Florida.
As well as potential bipartisan crowd pleasers like spending on infrastructure. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
Inflation in China has increased, and economists say that is at least partly due to the new coronavirus. Consumer prices in China in January were 5.4% higher than a year earlier. It was the highest inflation rate in 8 years. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker reports.
The health crisis in China is now beginning to become apparent in economic data. Consumer price inflation rose markedly last month, mainly due to food price rises. Although the cost of food is usually more volatile around the Chinese New Year, it does appear to have been boosted by disruption to supplies and hoarding by consumers. Economists expect the virus and efforts to contain its spread will have an impact on growth in the first quarter of the year. Some estimate economic activity will be 2% less than it would otherwise have been.
Andrew Walker with our editorial partner at the BBC. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.3%. Dow futures are unchanged. S&P and NASDAQ futures are up in the 1-2% range. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 1.57%. And one other number for you, $47 billion. That is the size of the endowment of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which celebrates its 20th anniversary this year. In a letter marking the anniversary, Bill and Melinda Gates said two of their main priorities were gender equality and climate change. Last week, the foundation pledged $100 million to fight coronavirus. There are 12 confirmed cases of coronavirus in the United States and over 40,000 cases worldwide. More than 900 people have died from the infection. This has left many businesses worried about where they send their employees. Amazon, for example, has pulled out of this month's Mobile World Congress in Barcelona over concerns over the virus. The Mobile World Congress brings 100,000 visitors to Barcelona from around the world, and Amazon's actually the fourth major international company to cancel, including Sweden's Ericsson and South Korea's LG Electronics. Businesses face challenges not just over moving employees, but also in how to talk to them about the situation, and how to raise health as a topic at all in the workplace. Marketplace Morning Report host David Brancaccio spoke with Lawrence Gostin about this. Gostin is director of the O'Neill Institute for National and Global Health Law at Georgetown University.
Now, your expertise is in public health law, and I know that there is a legal duty of employers to provide a safe working environment. Could be lots of things, like be sure there's not ice on the stoop as you walk into headquarters, but it's also connected to what to do with if people are sick.
Well, that's actually true. I mean, there are a couple of things that really are important from a legal perspective. I mean, you don't want to negligently or knowingly expose your workforce to a novel infection like a coronavirus. And so, for example, if you know somebody, if you send somebody on work travel or even personal travel, they just come back from China, they came to work, and then others got infected, you could become liable if you didn't do anything. So you really do want to make sure that you actually are proactive about this. In particular, if you've got an office in China or even in Asia, you've got to really keep your employees safe. It's good for the bottom line. It's good for them.
And here's a mistake: profiling which employees that you're sharing the information with or asking to be specific, especially careful.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really glad you brought that up because, you know, you do, you know, all over the world and even in the United States, you know, you've got this stereotyping or stigma. You know, sometimes, you know, disease epidemics, you know, bring out the worst in us. And so you should never, you know, make special arrangements or single people out based on their nationality or their race or anything of that kind. You really want to make sure that you deal with facts. You tell your employees, everybody, what we know, what we don't know, and you keep them up to date regularly.
That was Marketplace Morning Report host David Brancaccio speaking with Lawrence Gostin, director of the O'Neill Institute for National and Global Health Law at Georgetown. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.